What's up, guys? Welcome to this episode of Unemployable. I am in Prague today at the Bitcoin conference, and I'm joined by the usual team, James, Mark, and Eric. This is an epic pod. We talk about the future of Australia, where we are right now in such a time of change. I think you're going to really enjoy it. The second half of the pod, we jump into some really interesting stuff around opportunities for people to make money that didn't exist a few years ago. We talk about Bitcoin lending. We talk about how certain strategy we've been doing is just pulling the incentive out of just purely making money through real estate, and how all of us on the pod are now allocating outside of that for cash flow into these other assets and these other opportunities that just didn't exist even 2 years ago. And we're sharing some of the results that we have been achieving by just refocusing and rechanging, or just changing the way we're doing things. Mark shared how he allocated money on behalf of his parents, whereas in the past he would have put it into real estate. Now he's completely restructured their portfolio, and he shares with you what he did, why he did it, and the returns that come from it. Now, for many of you who've been following us for a while, you know that we have an event that we've been talking about doing. It's happening on July 15, 16, and 17th for the Freedom Summit. You can go there right now and get your tickets to this. It's 6 till 9 p.m. at night, so everybody can come Sydney time. Just go to unemployable.com.au/freedom, unemployable.com.au/freedom. It's 100% tax deductible because all of the money being raised from ticket sales is going to charity, to our work that we do in Indonesia with the John Fawcett Foundation, Curing the Blind. So you can spend 3 nights with us getting educated, improving your income, really growing your life, and be doing good for charity at the same time. With that said, let's jump into this Friday pod. All right, boys. So I have a question for you. Have any of you heard of Calico Storico? Have any of you heard of this?
So, sounds like a story that my 8-year-old mentioned not long ago.
So I want to tell you this.
Sounds like that. Sounds like that. You know, we used to have Peak Latin. Did you? You'd go. No, go. When again? I'd go.
I know. So as you guys can see, I'm in Prague this morning with this incredible background, and I flew in here yesterday from Florence, and I got into Florence, and there's guys with flares lit up riding down the streets on the back of mopeds, screaming and carrying on. And so there's this thing that happens in Florence, Italy, called Calico Storico once a year. And I happened to turn up when it was on this weekend. And it's basically like a football field. Yep. They put a foot of sand. You know what I'm talking about, James. They put a foot of sand in here. And there's 3 districts in Florence, or 4 districts in Florence, that compete. And they train for it for a full year. Now, I think of Italians and I think of soccer and how soft they are. Calico Storico is, I watch this thing, right? 27 players on each side, the ball in the middle, they throw it up, and then one or two guys go for the ball, and then the other 27 guys shape up, and it's just a full punch on, no gloves, nothing. It's a combination of football, UFC. It was nuts. So I'm in the middle of Florence seeing this the other day. It was just a crazy, crazy experience. If you look it up on YouTube, it's nuts. Just totally bonkers.
It's bare knuckle boxing with no rules, and they're chasing the rules. And the white ball becomes irrelevant. It's not about the white ball.
No, it's just a massive punch on. But moving on to the business stuff, I thought you'd find that fun. How are you guys going? What's happening during the week?
I feel like that's me on a daily basis playing, what is it called? Clerical Storico. I feel like I'm the one in the middle just getting smacked around sometimes, getting spit out, blood down my mouth. Keep going. Let's go. The day that James and I had, honestly, the last 24 hours in James and I's life, we probably won't have time to discuss it today, but we will discuss it on a future pod. But this is like the reality of doing business 101.
This is with your property deal.
So many things that have happened in the last 24 hours. And then, it's if we have time, maybe at the end of the pod. I know we have a fair bit to talk about today, but it's very, very interesting. Some of the things that you can actually deal with within a 24-hour period, all at the same time, trying to juggle other things. But let me tell you something. One thing that I've been very, very good at over time is chasing and putting pressure on people, right, in business.
That's an understatement.
That's chasing and putting pressure on people in business. Okay.
Thank you, Eric. Thank James you, Eric Diddy. Eric
yeah,
Diddy.
Yeah, I already know.
Do we have to talk about consent?
But you know what? Like,
We certainly, I mean, the amount of calls Eric and I have had between each other, let alone about five different parties trying to, it's like fucking herding cats. Well, and some people got some pretty firm words, that's for sure. Not
very,
Eric and
very
I.
Very firm but, words, right? Not between James and I, but between us and other people, obviously. But it's amazing because I look back and I love collaborating and things, right? And right now, James and I are collaborating on this particular project. And the strategy calls in between the firm phone calls or the firm messages, right? It's a real thing. And it helps when you're bouncing ideas off each other. Now I'm grateful to have James in my corner and I'm sure he'd say the same thing. But for those of you that don't collaborate and you're in business on your own or you're in investing by yourself or like someone like Mark, where he's literally sitting there trading on a daily basis with him and his computer, you know, him and his laptops, screens, make sure that you guys do have someone to bounce these ideas off and actually ask for advice. Because I'm like, hey, James, what do you think about that? Okay, I'm going to call this person. I'm going to say this and I'm going to do this so we get the outcome that we need. You're going to have to go there, in my opinion, right now to get this done. Like, there is no other way to do this. Like, it has to be done, right? Like, there's, and when you start thinking and talking like that, when there's no other choice, right? It's amazing the things that you can actually get done. But like I said, we have the experience and obviously we're grateful that we have each other in this scenario. But for anyone that doesn't have that, like Mark, I say to you now, like if you're in a dire strait and you're doing a deal or something's happening, call me, call Adam, call James, you know, and just whoever that person is, make sure you have that person, you know, that phone a friend. But make sure if it's in business, it's not a friend that knows nothing about business. Make sure it's a friend in business. Make sure if it's in property, make sure it's a friend in property. Or make sure, you know, with Mark, he might need a level head at some point in time and just say, hey, guys, I'm having troubles here. You know, I can't see it clearly. What do you guys think? I think that's very, very important and overlooked.
Yeah, and also to that end, just to clarify about, you know, firm words, we weren't ever rude. And it was just about the other businesses we're dealing with, four or five other businesses, lawyers, the whole lot all in one, asbestos guys, agents, tenants, owners, the whole lot. And majority of these people have also, you're not their number one priority. They've got their own shit going on and their own priority in their business going on. But it's at some point in time, you do need to get out the stick and wave it around. Just let them know you're not fucking around, because at our end, there's hundreds, if not millions of dollars swinging around contingent on getting the shit done this morning. It had to get done. So it was we got a lot done. And from what turns out, it could be, as Adam usually coins of eating a shit sandwich, has actually turned out to be a gift in strange wrapping. We're going to probably up just by quite a few $1,000s by getting what we need to get done by surprise of a report that we got done. It's going to yield us quite a bit more money. So it was all turned out well.
Yeah,
but in short, sometimes you've got to be firm.
Mark?
I was just going to say, that's the thing about business, right? Like, business really is a blood sport of how much pain you can take. But sometimes I think because business owners know that that's the sport that they're in, that they sometimes try and take on more pain than what they really need to at times. And sometimes just by reaching out or you know, going to the brains trust for something, you can avoid a lot of that heartache. So it's like that delicate dance between being able to take pain, but also be smarter and working smarter rather than harder and more silly.
Yeah. Look, I'll tip in here, picking up on that, Mark, about the, you know, the stress of being in business, like what the guys are talking about here. And I want to just loop back to last week. So I made a comment last week about this legal case that happened in the Philippines, where a Filipino worker sued an Australian small business in Brisbane for unfair dismissal and won. And that clip went viral during the week, and we had a lot of, surprisingly, a lot of pushback, surprisingly to me, a lot of pushback from people saying, I agree with the Fair Work claim against Filipino worker, in favor of the Filipino worker. Now, I want to be clear about something. I love Filipino workers, not just because they're less expensive than Australians. I just love their attitude. We employ one, Jerome, who does our editing, great guy. amazing person to have part of the team. But here at Unemployable, we make this pod for small business people. And I think a lot of the people who are responding and saying, you know, screw the business in Brisbane, don't understand this audience of small business owners in Australia. So I got some stats this week and I just wanted to share quickly to frame up why we are so pro small business owner. So I read a report from the Australian Bureau of Statistics this week. 362,000 Australian small businesses closed in 2023-24 year, right? Which is a lot of businesses. The survival rate at 5 years is almost zero. Most of these small businesses earn less than $65,000 a year in this country, and they make up the largest employment sector in the entire country. Now, what was interesting about the this for most small business owners running this, you know, we talk about incentives, right? And we talk about, like, you know, Charlie Munger famously said, show me the incentives and I'll show you the outcome. And Topher said it when he came in the pod. Topher Field said, you know, in Australia, we tax the shit out of cigarettes. Why do we do that? Because the message that they give us is if we put massive taxes on the cigarettes, people will do what? Less of it, right? And so in Australia, if you put, for example, the most hideous tax there is in Australia, as Topher pointed out, is payroll tax, right? So once an Australian company gets to a certain level, like it's not that high level, it's like 10 employees almost for most places, they tax you as an employer. So what do you think that's going to create for small business owners? Do you think that's going to incentivize them or disincentivize them? In the same way that putting taxes on cigarettes makes people stop buying them, putting taxes on hiring people is going to stop Australian small business hiring. So I found it just really interesting that we're in an environment. And the other thing I want to point out, here in Australia, year on year, there's a 34% increase year on year in unfair dismissal claims in Australia. 34% year on year increase in unfair dismissal claims in Australia. So what is that doing for the small businesses that are employing these people? It's just like we're in a very dangerous spot here.
What are we actually saying if we're going out there and saying, well, screw the small business? Like, what are we saying? Are we, if we're saying screw the small business, then we're actually saying support large conglomerates and support 9-to-5 workers who work for the large conglomerates. Because if there's no small business and you screw all the small businesses and suck the small businesses, that's what you have left. You have large conglomerates who need employees to work 9-to-5. So what are we actually saying? We're actually saying that we want to promote a system of more 9-to-5 employees, a system that is only, 100 years old, when Henry Ford basically ushered in that scholastic system to train a multitude of people who could come in and work in his factories and build his cars. Right? Like, whether you like it or not, we're moving away from that system probably. It's probably running its course with AI, with every person going to have their own 24/7 tutor. We're probably going to move back into that self-employed system where majority of the population is self-employed. It was only like 150 years ago where something like 50-80% of the US workforce was self-employed. So, you know, I think it's important to understand when you're saying fuck that person or screw that person, what are the second and third order effects of that wish coming true? And this is what I think the majority of the population fail to take the time to understand, is those second and third order effects of their comments and their thoughts and their belief systems.
And we need to delineate small from large businesses. Like, small businesses in Australia are different to large businesses. I understand people wanting protections when they're working for a massive corporation, but when you're dealing with a small business owner that is basically taken full risk, knowing that 80% of these businesses are going to be broke in 5 years, taking with them a salary that salary sacrifice because they're making 60 grand a year, working way longer. There's a report out of Korea that did a study on the stress of a small business owner and links to suicide of small business owners versus the general populace. And it was like a 35% higher chance of a small business owner having serious mental health issues and suicidal ideation because they chose to start a small business. So, you know, we've got to start, if we want to, in this country, in Australia, if you want to you know, promote small business. We need to incentivize it. I know, and Eric, I know you've said this to me as well. I've got mates in trades in Australia that have more work than they can handle, but what they're actively doing is reducing their team sizes and just making it leaner and more profitable and saying no to more work because they just don't want the risk of Australian employees. I looked at the data this week. The Office of Small Business Administration in Australia estimates that Australian small businesses are paying $6.4 billion a year in compliance. You know, like every time a government passes a law, like the right to disconnect law, that has to be monitored. It has costs. We have that new law that Labor brought in, domestic violence leave. You know, that's 10 days of paid leave from the day you hire somebody. They can rock up and say, hey, I'm experiencing domestic violence. You owe them 10 days. They have the right to take 10 days from day one. It doesn't accrue. And it's illegal to ask them when you're hiring them, are you in a domestic violence situation, right? So these types of things that sound good on the surface, these create compliance costs, and Australian small businesses are already under the pump, $6.4 billion a year just to comply with all of the workplace regulations and so on. No wonder small business owners are just not incentivized in Australia, and that's why they're going and hiring people in the Philippines, because it's not just about the money, it's about the risk. But the minute you open the doors now and you start saying, well, we're going to now protect the rights of all workers around the world, I can tell you the next step from that, right? And it's going to be people setting up companies in other places and doing it. And they'll just find a workaround. Yeah. But what shocked me was just how many Australians have now got this virus in their mind that small business or business ownership equals bad. And it's terrible.
I mean, if you look at it like that, I mean, we've got some friends that own childcare center, predominantly female employees. If you're talking about DV, I don't know the stats, I don't quote me, but I'm assuming that females are probably the recipients of more domestic violence than men. They got 60 staff. You add 2 weeks by 60, and how much cash flow you've got to have on hand should they exercise that right? I mean, it's a fair chunk of change.
James, I think you're going to see domestic violence in men like this.
Increase. Oh, the incentive. I got bitch slapped.
Yeah. I mean, you put the incentive there, right? Like, I that's what happens. It's like,
I mean, yeah. I went down there last weekend. She's 77. She had a pretty successful real estate business in a small country town. I explained this to her and she nearly fell off a chair. She said, what the fuck's going on with this? She said, I'm so glad I'm finished up and retired now, not in business in this day and age. It's just, you know, and it was tough then, let alone that was 20 years ago. So
just to talk about small businesses for a sec. So ABS in Australia says, so a small business has 0 to 19 employees, right? So at the moment, small businesses employ over 5 million people, which is 42% of the private sector's employment, right? And total employment in Australia at the moment is about 14.6 million people. That's as of April 2025. Now, I think there's an education gap between the business owner and the employee / team member. And I think what's happening is the gap is widening heavily between the ideation of a small business owner and a team member, and the deterioration amongst that relationship, right? Mm. That gap is widening and widening and widening. Now, I'm going to give you two examples, and these are real life examples that have just happened to me over the last couple of weeks. So for those of you guys that don't know, my parents have been here from overseas for the last 7 weeks, dropping them off at the airport yesterday morning, and we've had a great time. And what do you do when your family's here from overseas? You go for a lot of dinners, you eat a lot of gelatos, and you go to, you know, you go away and you spoil them and you do these types of things. So we went to one of their favorite restaurants. I won't mention the name. A very nice restaurant on the Gold Coast that we always go to every time they come here. We get seated and we're Portuguese background. The Spanish guy comes, he starts serving us. Portugal beat Spain last week in the Nations Cup, which, you know, we're all excited about. So I was playing some jokes with him on that. So there's a bit of banter happening. Then there's another guy that comes and starts filling up our glasses. He's Spanish as well. Then there's a lady that comes and asks what we'd like to order. She's Spanish. And then I started talking to them, right? And I'm like, where, like, how do you guys actually get here? What are you guys doing? Like, they were all Spanish people working at this restaurant. And let me tell you, it was impeccable service that we got. And I asked one of the guys, I go, are you guys all friends, or is this just a coincidence that you guys come here? And he goes, to be honest with you, every time the owner needs more staff, he tells us, we tell our friends in Spain, they get a working holiday visa and they come here for 12 months. Right. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, like this is unbelievable. Anyways, after that dinner, next day, we go to a new gelato place that's open here on the Gold Coast, Italian gelato. And we go there, and there's this lady, a young girl working there, probably in her mid-20s. She's from Italy. She was from Siena. And I'm like, oh, we were in Siena a couple of years ago. We get talking. And I'm like, you're on a working holiday visa. She says, yes. And then she goes, okay. And I asked her, how long are you here for? Oh, I'm here for 12 months, but I want to stay. It almost brought tears to her eyes how much that she loves Australia. She goes, Eric, because I asked her name. Her name was Sophia. And I told her my name. So she goes, Eric, what people don't realize is when I moved here, I was working 40 hours a week in Siena for 1,000 euros a month. That's 250 euros a week, which is about 450 Australian dollars, give or take, right? 4 to 450 Australian dollars a week, working 40 hours a week. She's like, there's nothing there for me, right? Like I can't afford anything. And they're coming here and seeing the lifestyle that you can have here and seeing, you know, that you can make ends meet somewhat, obviously for them. These are single people. I'm not talking about, you know, they're single mid-20s. But the reality is it never used to be like that, right? I want you guys listening right now that live in Australia that are listening to this, start watching, right? Start taking things in when you're going out to restaurants and you're going to cafes and you're seeing the people working behind the cashiers. You've seen the people that are serving you and you start working out the percentage of them that aren't actually Australians, right? That's when you know we have a major problem, in my opinion, right? We went to Hayman Island. All the people that are working at Hayman Island are non-Australian, right? All the workers are non-Australian. What are they doing there? They're extending their holiday visa. Because when you do 12 months, if you want to extend your visa, what do you got to do if you don't get sponsored? You got to do a thing what they call fruit picking or farm work. Well, guess what? Working at Hayman Island, because it's a rural area, is considered farm work. So you have all these internationals working at Hayman Island to extend their visas so they can try and stay in this country because they obviously see opportunity. And sometimes I think what you got to do is look outside rather than just see where you're at all the time to see how other people live, right? And see the and what they're earning in some of these other countries and why they want to come here so bad and outwork, right? The reality is they're trying to outwork. And both of those people gave us their card with their name on it. The one guy's name was Joel. The other one was Sophia. And they both asked, can you please leave me a review? I have never had anyone else ever ask me, right, to leave, literally physically give me a card at a restaurant and say, can you please leave me a review? Why do you think they want a review? They want a review so they could get 100 of them, so they could get the owner of the business to say, I need Sophia. I'm sponsoring Sophia. That's why they want it. That's why they want it. And what people need to wake up.
Yeah. I mean, I want to contextualize for the listener just quickly. If you're just joining us, Eric's main business has 170 staff. He's not talking through his ass here in Australia, right? Like this is a real employer that we are listening to right now.
We have amazing team members. We have amazing Australian team members, New Zealand team members, team members from all over the world, right? But again, what we got to start realizing is there is this massive gap happening, right? It's like the employer against the employee. It needs to be a win-win. We all need to start seeing more eye to eye because the reality is this. Without them, we can't have a business. Without us, they don't have a job. So we have to work together. It's our choice to go out and create business, right? We're the crazy people that put our balls on the line and risk everything, right, to try and get a better outcome for our families and for ourselves moving forward in the future. It's everyone's choice.
There needs to be, Eric, a much higher level of empathy for small business owners in Australia. And I was shocked with the number of people in our comments that were full on advocating for Australian taxpayers should be paying for the Fair Work Commission to be hearing cases from employees that are not in Australia. And I'm just like, this is like to go up against these guys. I'm like, right now, there's some Indian or Pakistani or Filipino entrepreneur going, let's start a business. We'll do it on spec, no win, no fee. The Australians are paying for unfair dismissal of offshore workers. Like, just be careful what you incentivize, right? Like, there's a good business. You know, like,
I think the issue as well is that it's like this, it's like, you know that meme of the fire burning in the in the background, and then there's a girl like looking back at the, like that evil girl looking back at the fire, we can throw that meme up, right? It's like everybody is out there against each other. It's like the employees against the employer. We're going at each other. And the government is just sitting there in the corner looking back at the fire, because there's the misconception that it's the bad employer or the bad employees. Like, the reality is the fact that employees are on our comments lighting it up saying, yeah, good, just goes to show you that they're hurting. Right? That they're totally. Just as much as the small business or the business owner is hurting, the employee is hurting even more, because if a business show can get lit up in the comments about being pro-business, that tells you something. And we need to start not fighting against one another and look at the systems and look at the policies and look at the economic decisions that our country is making that is putting us in this fight. Like, if you look at the statistics in the Western world, our productivity and our purchasing power has dropped more than any other Western world country in the last 12 to 18 months. Why is that? That's not because of bad employers or bad employees. That's because of the policies that have been put up from the top, right? So I think we all need to start getting educated around these topics a little bit more, rather than just following the echo chamber of, you know, if it's small business owners being in that echo chamber or just the employee being in that echo chamber, and start questioning more, why is this happening? Why is this going on? What can we do to stop it, right?
And listen to what Eric said there, you know, like, pay attention out there in the real world in Australia. Look who's serving you and ask the question, why is it this person? Why is it this Spanish person and that Spanish person? And look at their attitude and look at the way they're bringing it. If you're an employer and you get somebody who rolls in going, I'm ready to work, I'm going to work around the clock, but you see this 34% year-on-year growth in unfair dismissal claims, right? Are businesses in this environment just becoming really, really aggressive and rude against their employers, employees? Or is the game out that, you know, you've got this big stick now to go after to business owners? Like, I think it's far more likely that the incentives are, you know, you've weaponized employment against small business owners, and they're getting smashed. And that's why they're going, look, I want people who are going to turn up. My family's future's on the line here. I've gone into debt. I'm working in an environment where 80% likelihood of failure in 5 years, and I'm getting paid less than the minimum wage. Of course they're going to get the person who's happy to be there. And Australia is an incredible opportunity for millions and millions of people around the world. I could walk out the door here and throw a rock at somebody who'd want to go to Australia.
You mentioned something previously, I don't know whether you captured on the pod or not, about compliance and the $6.4 billion in costs for small business to run compliance. When I had that previous business with healthcare, the cost to just actually onboard someone and then have to jump through all these fucking hoops, it was a fortune to just make sure you're doing it right. And then exactly dead right when we did offload them. I mean, we had two cases that want to take us to unfair. It's like, it didn't work. We didn't want the business anymore.
You know, there's a problem, right? You know, there's a, sorry, James, keep going.
No, I was going to say the cost to offboard these people was through the roof. It was
we were on, James, both of us were on, what was the name of that company we had to hire? A third-party company.
Employsure.
Exactly. Business must be pumping. But we were
absolutely.
Because we had to use a third-party company to interview, onboard, and then when you're offboard, you've got to have them on, you've got to get a letter, you've got to structure it the right way, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And you're like,
more phone calls, mediation, the whole shebang. I was like, this is all too hard. But then
we're not talking.
Go ahead. We're not talking, you know, high end staff here. We're talking, this is for regular, normal, administrative level staff. The cost of on and off was just ludicrous.
Yeah.
And what people need to understand, bottom line, is the more that big business or small business, medium business struggles, the worse it gets for the little guy. You know, I think what the equality army fails to understand is that if all of a sudden you eliminate business and it's all government fed, all jobs are government fed, the quality and the standard of living decreases. You know, go back and study USSR, go back and study these Marxist regimes. Like, they don't end well. So, you know, the more that we pile in on small, medium or large business, the worse off it's going to be for the little guy anyway. Now, yes, when business is going strong, that the business owners are getting richer, but they're also lifting the quality of living for the society as a whole. So that's the one thing when I find myself in debates over dinner with friends, that they don't seem to get the economic realities of the way these kind of things work. So
we need to realize too is, I know Employshare really well as well, because we subcontracted them as well at another business, and they would be pumping. And the reality is, unless you have an HR department, which a small business that has 0 to 19 employees will not have an HR department, you have no choice but to use Employshare, because it is like an insurance, because you know you're going to be getting screwed in some way, whether you're a good operator or whether you're a rogue operator. Like, there's a plenty of rogue operators, right, that make it harder for all of us operators that feel like we're doing the right thing. But if you don't have those people, you could literally be screwed, right, as a business owner. And the employee can be as well. I totally understand both sides. But the reality is this. If we're in a right cost of living crisis and a housing crisis, let me tell you something. The employer, right, amount, and we're not talking it's $500. Like, it's thousands of dollars a month to have these guys on subcontract, right? And it goes up from there. The reality is this. In a business owner, in a small business, you have a thing, right, called a P&L. That employer and all these compliances sit as a line item, as a cost, that you then need to make a margin on. Then who are you passing it on to?
Consumer.
The person that's buying your goods and services that is already whinging and complaining, right? And I'm in the same, it doesn't matter, wealthy, not wealthy, I'm worth this, you're worth that, it doesn't matter. I hate the amount I am paying for things at the moment. It is absolutely ridiculous. So we're all in the same boat here, right? But the reality is this, it just adds to the bottom line. So we're actually creating our own problems. So in Correct. My opinion, what we need to do is the employer and the employee need to work a little bit better together, you know, like build the culture. Open communication. What can we do better? Like, in the businesses that I've been involved in, like, you look at MX and Fight in these businesses that we're involved in, like, the culture, right, is great culture. It really, really, really is. And I think a lot of it has to do with the type of business you're in as well, right? So motocross, it's a fun, sexy business. Majority of the people that work there love motocross. Very easy, right? James's healthcare service, healthcare business. Very hard. It's going to be very hard to get staff that are going to be excited, right, to be selling fucking mobile toilets or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Fucking handrails for a bed, guardrails. Like, how do you get excited about that?
It's not the most uplifting roles that recruit sales people for.
A business like that, for instance, has a lot more work to do, right, to create culture in that business to make sure that you guys are seeing eye to eye. It's a lot easier in the Fight game or in the MX game, you know, depending on what business you're in. So if you are going into business, right, or you do have a business, right, be mindful of, if you are in business and you want to grow that business, make sure, right, you know how difficult it's going to be to actually go and compound that growth. Because for us, yes, there's difficulties, but it's a lot more, you know, it's a lot easier for us to get, you know, frothers that froth the actual industry than it is in some other industries.
I think there's two parts there.
It's ironic.
Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say it's ironic as well, right? Like the businesses where AI robots are probably not going to be able to replace humans, like the human experience, the cafes, the retail, 7-Eleven store. You're always finding people that are from overseas working in those businesses. The irony is it's the businesses where the majority of Australians actually want to work that are probably going to be gone in the next 3 to 5 years, 10 years anyway. And so, that's the ironic backdrop behind all of this as well.
I think the two things are for business owners, you've got to be really proactive in culture building, right? Like what MX Store does. And for when it comes to small businesses, if you get a job at a small business, where I see the poison that's crept into Australian culture is people think that when an entrepreneur goes into a job, and I saw these words used over and over, well, screw them, they're offshoring Australian jobs. No, that job is not an Australian job. That job is an entrepreneur-created job. It's not entitled to be in Australia. It's an entrepreneur taking a risk, putting his family's future on the line, all of their savings. People have started to think that a job is a right. It's actually a privilege extended by somebody going out on a limb and putting their balls on the line and having a go. It's a privilege if you get given a job at an Australian small business, in my opinion, and it should be treated as such. And that's the big key difference where, you're seeing these Spanish people come in. They don't see it as a right. They see it as a privilege that they got hired and they get to be here and get paid well and deal with Australians and improve their English. Whereas Australians are like 34% year-on-year growth in unfair dismissal claims. And that's a problem that we, Eric, we were talking before we rolled here. There's a thing called a productivity index and a complexity index that is released annually. The most recent one, Australia is now 102 out of 145 countries in the complexity of work index, meaning that the work that Australians produce is the most basic and simple in the world because we lost our manufacturing because of our energy prices. Businesses have been forced offshore. So we've closed all our manufacturing. And so we're now literally in a global context, knuckle draggers that dig dirt out of the ground for a living. So if we're not going to be great at service, if we're not going to be great at these basic tasks, what is the future, right? It's like you said, Mark, AI is going to take this stuff out and we've got to get that fixed. It's problematic.
I mean, we had, I read an article, right? It was the chief financial operating officer of Metricon. It was on news.com last week. His name's Brad Duggan. And he was talking about, the issues they had about basically almost going broke, right? As one of the largest home builders in the country during COVID.
And he explained,
pardon?
If it wasn't for a government bailout,
right. So he was talking about, all the issues and the reason why, the building and housing crisis and the rest of it. And a couple of the items, right, that he was talking about was the length of time that it now takes to build a house. So building houses, they were building houses at, he, in his words, at half the speed, right, in 1995. Now, in 1995, right, you can imagine the technological advances that we've had, right, as a society since 1995. Like we're talking 30 years ago, right? It was 50% quicker to build a house than it is today, right? And one of those things will be productivity, right? And our unwillingness and inability to address these issues in productivity because, again, it is a mindset, right? I think what we're doing in a lot of ways in a lot of businesses, sorry to say, but we're paying top dollar for less productivity as a country than we ever have. And again, there's a thing called a P&L, which every transaction, think about this, right? As all of us listening to this and sitting here talking about this, everything we do every day, right? We flick on a light. There's someone on the back end there that is running a P&L that is making money on that electricity. You go and buy a bottle of water. You pay for fuel. You buy a car. You pay it for a flight, whatever that is. It is every single cost will be built in to the P&L, right? And if that P&L doesn't show enough, it's either someone's going to be closing down, right? Or they need to adjust their price up. And let me tell you, if someone closes down and there's 10 businesses and 9 of them close down and 1 survive, well, guess what? That's called a monopoly, which then they're going to control the prices anyways. And we all know this by conglomerates like Bunnings, right? Where else do you want to go? It's just Bunnings as an example, right? So they can really set the prices because you have no choice. There's only so many places you could go and buy double-sided tape or a shovel or these things. But what I want you to think about is the less productive we are as a country, the more expensive everything will continue to get.
Mm.
Because it all boils back down to one word, and a business, right? Creates someone that sets up a business is not just setting up a business to hire people and be a nice person. They're setting up a business, right, to try and get ahead in life and make profit. And if they can't do that, they're either going to shut the door or they're going to have to increase their prices to a point in time where the market's going to tell them whether it's feasible or not. And what we're doing now is the prices just keep continuing to creep up. Like that dinner, I don't even drink. My wife has a glass of wine. My dad has a glass of wine. My mom doesn't drink. I've got two kids. There's six of us at dinner. $650 for dinner.
Yeah.
Right? That dinner was maybe $450 a few years back. And the reality is in 5 years' time, it'll be 1,000. It'll just get built on and built on and built on.
That's it, Eric. I mean, this is, again, it's that compliance, right? All that money in Employsure to protect small businesses. 34% year-on-year unfair dismissal claims. You think you're having a win because you got this payout from a business, but where does it end up? It ends up in you being broke up because everything else gets more expensive as a result of it because it gets passed along.
And the more red tape that just keeps getting piled on. Like it's not just an even keel when it comes to compliance and all this stuff. As Mark said before, we haven't had enough pain yet to work it out. And with the Labor government in, it's turning it a lot worse.
Guys, I know this is an ad, but trust me, you want to watch this one because it is an absolutely ripping product for anybody who uses a computer. One of the things I hate the most in business is email and responding to YouTube comments on my computer here. This AI app is a game changer. What it does is it enables me to never type another email again. I'm going to show you how it works, but essentially, instead of typing, I have a key on my computer that I just push the key. I start talking. It dictates everything I said and uses AI to correct any words that it hears after I've trained it a few times where there's misspelling, and it just cuts my email response time in half and enables me to give much deeper, better emails to people. Just check this out. As soon as you see it, you'll see how it works. If you want to get it, there's a link beneath this video. It is insane. It's called Whisper AI. It's a game changer. Let me show you. So this is a scene you've all seen before, writing an email, but instead of going and writing and using my keys here to type in, I'm just going to push that little FN button and I'm going to read this straight in here. So watch this. Hi there, thanks for watching the podcast. Have a great day. Let it go. Boom, there it is, and I hit send. That's it, guys. Click on the link below the video. Get signed up today. It will save you heaps of time. All my entrepreneurial friends are using it. You can thank me later. Let's get back to the pod.
So one quick question, guys, before Adam moves on here, is rather than we're good about talking about problems, right? Now, in one or two sentences, I want to ask each of you, right? As employers, as you guys are all employers, you guys are all business owners, right? Mm-hmm. What can us as business owners do better to bridge that gap that is widening so much between the employer and the employee? How do we bring us back together to work more cohesively in synergy, in harmony?
Talk about for labor.
Start with you, Adam.
I think the biggest thing is communication, right? Like really, like when we ran Reliable and built a really successful business, I had a fantastic business partner called Joe, and Perry, who now works for us, worked together, and we had an amazing onboarding culture setting process to attract and retain quality staff. So you've got to really be really communicative about your values as a business and really have a strong filter for attracting A players. And we had an amazing team as a result. So I think that's the biggest part is just being, you have to overcompensate. For as far as these laws have overcompensated, in my opinion, that have basically got people now thinking that a job is a right rather than a privilege, I think you've got to overcompensate the other way with creating an amazing culture and amazing onboarding and making sure that people feel loved and welcomed and are working on something important from day one.
Awesome answer.
So I was going to say, echoing what Adam said, and having gone through MX that time we did the tour down there, I mean, what you guys have built is phenomenal when it comes to culture. You know, there's not much more I can add to that. Where, you know, people enjoy coming to work and putting their all and prepared to do a bit extra because they're enjoying being there, not because they have to. Or
How about you, Mark?
I'm a little bit more pessimistic. I'm not sure I can give you an optimistic answer, an answer that you're probably looking for.
Doesn't have to be optimistic. Just right.
I'm of the opinion that unless you've got a Tesla or a Palantir or an Nvidia or an MX store, or you've got a business that is going to command that kind of talent, that who's going to come in and just love, you know, sucking and eating it all up, I think it's going to be very, very hard for the average business owner to outrun the obstacles that we have to face in order to continue to turn a profit. And just one of them being finding employees or staff, the cost of goods, and there's a whole magnitude of other problems. And I've started taking the profits from my business, and instead of reinvesting them back into the business, I've started buying Bitcoin because I don't think I can outrun the challenges. So,
Mark, I agree. I actually agree with you, Mark. That all of what I just said isn't to say that I'm going to go back into that shit show again, because I'm not. you could all get fucked for all I've been said.
Calico Storico.
But yeah, like seriously, I'm just trying to offer some advice for all you psychos that are still ready to sign up. But I also want to add one other thing to it. when we built Reliable, and this is for young people listening, I hired women over 45. That was my sweet spot. And why did I do that? I didn't want to hire people under 30 for that business, because I wanted women that had been out of the workforce for a while, who were stoked to be going back to the workforce, and who came from the old school, who didn't think a job was a right. They turned up, they put in an honest day's pay. And my business, we made a lot of money as a result of incredibly loyal, incredibly competent, senior, what they would call senior workers, that that loved their job. Like Lizzie, who runs my accounts on my remaining businesses, Lizzie is, I think, 70, who works for me. She's unbelievable. And I love hiring older Australians because they come from a different time. And I love working with them. I like who they are. They just have this different moral compass, it seems to me. So, you know, I'm sorry, but that's who I would hire if I was hiring Australians in a fit of my business.
Again, if it wasn't a passion business, like an MX.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're out here on a show peddling, you know, how much interest we have in buying Bitcoin and how much interest we have in running business, and we're out there talking about how you need to work smarter. So on one hand, I can understand why the young kids these days don't want to work hard in these bricks and mortar businesses, because they're seeing how much money and opportunity is out there, and they're correctly realizing that, hey, going and working harder for that coffee shop owner or for that restaurateur is not going to get me that dream life that I want. So you know, it's one of those interesting paradoxes where I can understand it, but you know, you have to create value in whatever it is you do. And the bit that I would add is that, you know, I think I'm done hiring full-time staff after the experiences that I've had in the last kind of 2 years. I'm more likely to go and hire performance-based contractors.
Unfortunately,
that's interesting. Sorry, Eric.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm putting a business together at the moment, and after the last round, and the taste still left my mouth wasn't that pleasant. It's going to be all licensing, where they actually pay to become a part of the model, and that, for you know, the cream will rise to the top, and then I'll get my cream, and then I'll allocate more time and resources to those people.
Sure. I saw a stand-up comic recently, and she got on stage and she said her opening line was, "Ladies, I think I'm two dicks away from becoming a lesbian." And the whole audience cracked up. And I was like, I think I went two dicks too far. I'm never going back.
Yeah. And again, it's just everyone realizing where you are in your life, right? And what you want. But I think what we have to, it's funny because everyone's so different, right? And I think I use this metaphor, and it's like, you know, when you go to a restaurant and you're there about you're about to, you know, dig into your meal and there's a hair in it. I'm the kind of guy that just looks at the hair. I go, fuck. I take the hair out and I eat my meal. But there's plenty of people that are going to look at the hair and go, fucking look at this hair. I want, next thing you know, they're getting a free meal and they're getting wine on it, right? And they're getting drinks. And I think the issue is there's more and more people that just won't take the hair out and just go, you know what? It is what it is. Who cares? As long as it's not a dark, curly one, I'm good to go, right? Like, that's like, this is what we need to realize. Our expectations as human beings are through the roof. Even my expectations I'm seeing now are increasing from what they used to be, right? And it shouldn't be that way, I don't think. We need to just think back, be happy where we're at. Health is number one, right? Like, think about where we're at the moment in life and just be happy. And right now, I think, you know, we're the unhappiest society's ever been. And I think what happens is it just puts more pressure. And then, you know, and I don't blame some of these employees, to be honest with you. You know, there is some rogue operators out there doing the wrong thing, making all kinds of money and treating them like shit. And, you know, and they're probably like, you know what? You want to do that? Screw you, right? Office of Fair Work. Man, I would love to know the stats of how many calls Office of Fair Work get every day in the Western world, you know, Australia. Imagine that, the thousands and thousands.
34% more than last year.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. But the thing is, there's going to be some of those that are actually legit. They're legitimate, totally. Right, because of rogue operators. And it's, again, it's like any business, anything. There's always going to be rogue people doing the wrong thing, that they got to put laws, they got to put things in place that we all need to abide by, which make things so much more difficult, you know?
Did I hear it from one of you guys, or maybe I heard it on another macro podcast that did this survey and they basically asked people, you know, would you rather be you now, or would you rather be Rockefeller and have all the wealth?
Oh yeah, we mentioned that. Yeah, yeah.
And like 100% of people said they want to be Rockefeller, and then they go and show what Rockefeller had and how he lived, and then there was like 96 or 99% said no, fuck that, and then that 3 or 4% who just want the power. But that's effectively the backdrop of the world where you're complaining and fucking arguing and just being frustrated about what you don't have. That's the backdrop of that world where you've got so much more than the richest man in the world.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, stop interrupting me, mate. Why would you interrupt me?
How was it last week? Mark got fucking toasted in the comments. That was so funny. Mate, you got a flogging for that, didn't you?
Well, Adam, what's that called again? What we started with? Clerico, what is it called?
Calico Storico.
Calico Storico. So for anyone, right, that listens to this, that is aspiring to be a business owner, what's it called? Clerico Storico?
Calico
Storico.
Storico.
Right. So go and look up Clerico Storico, right, on YouTube.
Florence.
Watch it. Florence. Watch it. Yeah, put in Florence, right? Watch it over and over and over again, and then really decide if you want to get into business, because the person that's in the middle getting stomped on and bashed, that'll be you over and over and over again, because that is the reality of what we're doing here.
Yeah, and I want to highlight what Mark said there, because Mark said something interesting, because one of the things in life is you have to be adaptable, and I honestly think we are moving into a world where less and less people should go into business, we are going to see, like, I think the next 5 years are going to be absolutely transformative with AI. You're going to see jobs starting to disappear left and right starting now. Some of the stuff, like, I watched a recording, there's a product from Microsoft that's just come out called Copilot. I don't know if you saw this demo, but Copilot's basically an AI that runs on your machine, not going onto a browser. It runs on your machine. And a guy was just basically talking to his computer and saying, while he's doing what he's saying, take this data from here, this spreadsheet, put it to here, create this automation, telling the computer what to do. And then the computer just says, okay, let me play this back to you. This is what you want me to do, blah, 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 blah. Like, you can look this up. It's incredible, the automation now that is coming through that. It's only going to get better and better and better. But this idea that you have to be an entrepreneur, like, the world is changing so fast. I'll tell you a quick story this week. like what you said, Mark, about Bitcoin and not Bitcoin, but crypto and just different things. There are so many new ways now.
I want to share the definition of entrepreneur. The definition of entrepreneur is important as well, because a lot of people, when they think about entrepreneur, they think I've got to hire staff, I've got to do all this. There's going to be so many more like one employee entrepreneurs. Like I my aspiration is to accrue value and build a business where I'm the only employee and I consider myself an entrepreneur, right? So just the definition of entrepreneur, I think, is an important point as well.
Yeah, we had Raph on last week and he told us about a woman, I think she's in Brisbane, who's one of our old reliable education students. She's now got a print-on-demand business in Amazon. So basically she sells a diary and on Amazon, and when one gets sold, Amazon print it and send it to the customer. So she doesn't have any inventory, none of that. She's doing $1 million a month on TikTok in her mid-40s, driving traffic from TikTok to Amazon, and she's anonymous. Like, she's doing this behind the scenes from Brisbane, and she's an entrepreneur. Like, the world's changing. But I'll give you one example this week of just what I'm seeing. Like, I spoke to a friend of mine in Switzerland. So you know who he is, Eric. He's based in Switzerland. He does real estate in Melbourne. He does big warehouse renovations. Very smart guy, and, like, big stuff. And he rings me. He's like, Adam, can you tell me a bit about this Bitcoin stuff? Let's, you know, because I heard that they're doing this. Actually, what happened was I reached out to him and I said, do you have any contacts in Switzerland that will lend money against my Bitcoin? Because I'm thinking about buying some real estate. And he said, yeah, look, I'll see what I can find out. And when he went and started doing that work for me, he's like, Adam, this is really interesting. Can we jump on a call? We jumped on a call this week when I was in Venice in Italy, and I'm on the phone with him for an hour. In the time that he'd gone and started talking to Swiss banks about lending money just purely against Bitcoin. So what that means is I don't have to provide financials. I don't have to have a P&L given to the bank. I just get some Bitcoin. I put it in their custody. And because it's perfect collateral, meaning that if I default or my parameters get fallen outside of, they can just sell the Bitcoin 24/7. It's not like a stock. It's not like taking security over real estate where they've got to put it through a marketing campaign, doing that. They can just literally sell it if they've got custody, right? So when the lending world understands this, and this is what he was getting excited with me, he goes, Adam, now I'm starting to understand why you're always banging on about this Bitcoin stuff. I had term sheets. I had two term sheets given to me in the last 2 weeks out of Europe. 2.2% was the best rate. 2.2% borrowing to buy real estate against Bitcoin with no other collateral, no financials, nothing, just pure lending against it. Now, that rate had, it was a bit structured, and it meant that they got to participate in some of the upside of the Bitcoin. But the next one was like 4.4 or something. What he said to me, my friend, who's a multimillionaire out of real estate, big real estate developments, he said, Adam, do you understand how game-changing this is? He said, 4 weeks ago, I was in Istanbul with a client of mine, and I'm helping him buy an apartment in Istanbul. In Istanbul, to buy this apartment, we had to turn up with all the people that are normally at a property settlement. They all had to be in a room. We had to walk in with a big bag of actual cash and share it out there. He said, because in Turkey, the government there has turned away all the banks at the door. He doesn't want the banks being able to lend, because as soon as they can lend, it's going to drive demand. Prices for real estate is going to go through the roof. People are not going to be able to afford it. And he said, this is what happens when you introduce debt into a system. What you're talking about here with Bitcoin is you're now enabling an asset to be used to borrow against. It's going to unleash a huge value increase in this asset once this comes on stream, which is why I've been banging on to people about Bitcoin lending is going to change a lot of things. So this guy now is starting to tumble down the rabbit hole of Bitcoin and going, holy shit, this is going to unlock massive value for people. And there's huge opportunities in that space.
And what this is, and this is what Michael Saylor and the Treasury companies have also cottoned onto. They've realized that rather than lending based on promises of future cash flow, which is the model, right? All the businesses in the US and around the world, they go out and they take debts, they take on money, people lend them money, and they pay them an interest rate in the hope that they can pay back that money with future promise, with future cash flow. And Michael Saylor's basically said, well, I think Bitcoin is going to outperform the majority of these businesses. I think this pristine collateral is going to continue to grow at 30% a year. So I'm going to buy Bitcoin with the money that I'm taking on, the money that I'm borrowing, and I'm going to continue to buy Bitcoin. And now what you're seeing is that the people who have a mandate to lend money to get a return would rather, a lot of them would rather buy this Bitcoin-backed, would rather lend to these Bitcoin-backed companies than lend to these old-school businesses, because now they're seeing the history of Bitcoin. And that market, like hundreds and hundreds of trillion-dollar market. So we're at a time right now where people are going to like look back at like from 24 to 26 or whatever it ends up being and say, Jesus Christ, this was the regime shift of where pristine capital and lending really changed. And the whole world is asleep to it still, to your point.
They're gonna move money and they're going to buy Bitcoin and then borrow the fiat. So like with me, I'm paying $8,500 a month in rent in Cyprus. I could go and buy some Bitcoin. Instead of buying the real estate, the Bitcoin goes up by 30, 40% a year, and then I can borrow the money at 3. So let's say I want to get out of my rental at $8,000 or $9,000 a month. I go and borrow $2 million against my Bitcoin. I get to keep $2 million worth of Bitcoin, and then I get the funds at like $60,000 a year on $2 million, right? So 3% per million, so 30 or $60,000 a year. So I cut my rent bill down by, it cost me half the price, plus I get the upside in the real estate growth, the upside in the Bitcoin, and I never sell it. Right. Like, and this is going to, because the whole use case for Bitcoin, as I keep saying to people, is there's roughly $800-900 trillion of assets in the world. Bitcoin right now is $2 trillion of all of this assets. What Michael Saylor is doing with MicroStrategy is you got the bond market, which is the biggest category. I saw this diagram, Mark. You'll love this. It shows this big block. Yeah, this is the bond market. And this is, and they put a little machine up here called MicroStrategy. Yeah, and it just says MicroStrategy is just funneling money out of the bond market into Bitcoin. And when lending comes on, it's going to funnel money. You're going to see real estate investors. Grant Cardone went and met with Michael Saylor, and he came out of that meeting, next thing, Bitcoin-backed Grant Cardone Ventures Fund, right?
Yeah,
it's a birth of an asset. It's so exciting.
Not only that.
The thing that backs all this is the fact that it's capped at 21 million Bitcoin. They can't produce more. It's a finite asset. There is no more. And that absolute is certainty. Fixing the problem of fiat currency inflation, even gold inflation. Gold, the reason that the inflation rate that the central banks have accepted is 2% a year is because gold increases by 2% a year, right? The supply of gold. So it's an asset that is finite. And, yeah, it's a perfect money, as they say.
And now Saylor's gone in a strike, is you can actually get something that's fairly correlated with Bitcoin, buy a stock and actually get a dividend now as well. So they're income producing it. And so then that bond market shot, isn't it?
So, Mark.
Well, they're not correlated with Bitcoin. But what he's basically doing.
If you buy a mix of MicroStrategy and then some of the income producing to offset, you're getting a yield as well as the correlation with MicroStrategy, because that performs Bitcoin.
James, that's a perfect example of what you're saying about pulling money out of property. If you're sitting there as a real estate investor and you go, hang on, what's this MicroStrategy Strife thing with a 10% yield? You're getting 10% income as a bondholder ranking above the shareholders. So that's going to draw money out of real estate, where retirees and people who normally put their money into real estate in Victoria, where they're getting taxed through the arse, they can go, hang on, I can buy this stock and it gives me 10% yield. Like without the commercial risk.
It's already happened, right? Like my mum has been sitting on a couple of $100,000 in super, let's call it $500,000, right? For round numbers in super. And I've been waiting. And I sold 3,000 properties. I used to work in real estate for 15 years. And I'm like, eventually, you know, we'll buy a property with it, we'll do a development, we'll do something with it. Now I've gotten to the point where I said, forget about all that. I've set up a trading account. And I've gone the 60-40. I've put 60% in those high yielding. So it's not just Strife and Strike and Shine. It's like Woodside Petroleum. It's all different things that are high yielding. And then the other 40% are in growth things like, you know, Bitcoin and Tesla and Metaplanet. And it's like, it's already happening. I've already taken money that would have gone into property and is now going into these instruments, because that's where the world is going. And everybody's asleep on that still.
It's funny you say that, Mark, because like obviously I've been so pro property for a long time, and it's just an instinct, right? It's a habit that you just keep going towards, because you're like, oh, I made money, I'll go again and make more money and go again. And then James this week, you know, put a spreadsheet together, which he's even adjusting working on it even more. And he's showing me and he goes, okay, man, like, have a look at this. So if we did this project and we pulled this out and we put this in the spreadsheet, we bought a bit of Bitcoin and a bit of, you know, MSTR, and you got Metaplanet, and then, you know, we leverage that against, obviously, fiat currency, you know, this and that. And like, he looked at it over 10 years, and you start looking at it and you start going like, all right, so like, this isn't any phone calls, this isn't any
people,
no meetings, no rentals, no right, no stress and strokes over the last 24 hours like we had,
no fair work.
Yeah. Right. No moldy curtains and, you know, the tap that's leaking and all this. And I'm just like, damn.
No tax. You know, no tax. The big one's no tax.
Right. Like, just, it's very, very, very interesting when you actually start surrounding yourself with people that are actually looking into this quite heavily. And to be honest with you, really, you know, Adam and Mark are at the forefront in my world anyways, and probably in James' world. That has really opened up our eyes to this, right? To actually think outside of the box a little bit and go, actually, you could go and still do this and this and this, but have a look at this though instead. And it doesn't mean you have to go all in on one side or the other. But to me, you know, we're at a get together on the weekend, and it's like the ups. There's too much upside not to have some in Bitcoin
exposure.
Or MSTR. Yeah. You need some exposure. Just enough. And what I didn't realize is this, right? I know a lot of people that still don't realize. They look at Bitcoin, they go, oh, but, you know, it's $100,000 US in Bitcoin. I can't afford that. Like, you can invest $1,000. You can invest $500. You can invest $2,000, $10,000, whatever it is.
$5.
Yeah. You need, in my opinion, the upside, right, for the amount that you can lose, what you can afford. Just to have fun with. And I've been doing that, right? And I've been doing it since 2021. And I've been having a great time with it. You know, like, just and once you're in it, the reality is you start doing more research and you start doing more listening in regards to what other people are doing, right? Like, I get FOMO when I do these Friday pods and Mark comes and, you know, I'm up 200% on this one and down 50% on this one, I'm up 100%. I literally get FOMO going, like, Mark, here, like I've had these discussions, joking around, just going, here's a bit of money, just go, pretend like I'm your mom or your dad, right? And just here's $100,000, just go and place it, right? Let's talk in 12 months time, because you start building trust. That's
just
the reality.
Just follow the trades, bro. I'll give you the trades when I do it for them. Just follow the trades.
Yeah, right. Like, now, but again, it's allocating the time to it, right? Like, that's the thing. You can't allocate your time to everything, right? You're not going to go and do property, and you're going to do Bitcoin, and you're going to start a business, and you're going to be – you can't do everything, right? So find – the way I look at it is find something that you're comfortable with, right, and roll with that, and find something that you're a little bit uncomfortable with, right, and have a little bit of exposure towards it and just see what happens. Like, at the end of the day, if you invest $1,000, right, and you can afford it, and if you lose it, yeah, it's shit. But if all of a sudden it goes up in value, you can start getting a better, understanding and educate yourself around it. If you don't have skin in the game, forget about it, right? It's like online poker, right? You play online poker with real money, totally different. But you can play online poker every day with fake money, but you're going to make stupid decisions and you're going to play those pocket two and tens when you shouldn't. But when you have $1,000 on your hand, you're not going to play those hands. You're going to fold them and you're going to wait till you have an ace, king, or a pocket aces as an example. And it's the same thing of having some exposure, right? You'll start looking at things and taking it more serious.
My motto is invest, then investigate. And I learned that from probably the best trader of all time, Stanley Druckenmiller. It's like, invest first. Obviously, don't put the farm in straight away, but invest and then investigate. And that's the way. That's the way even the best in the world do it, right? So you got to get skin in the game. You can't wait for the conditions to be perfect. Otherwise, it's just gonna leave you behind.
And not only that, just a recent, obviously, I've been sharing stuff with Eric because I'm getting a bit more of an interest in it than from you guys as well. But you know, get that understanding piece is if a glass of wine or a cup of tea and jump on ChatGPT and fire some questions into it, and then you'll learn so fucking fast about what it's doing, all this and all the terms. Watch a couple of Adam keeps talking about and Mark talk, watch Michael Saylor videos, and then you get down and you get into so many different rabbit holes. But spend the time and learn and understand it, then you don't feel nervous when you are placing that bet, because it is a bet ultimately, but you're certainly a bet backed with knowledge is less nerve-wracking.
Agree.
On that note, guys, the whole point. It's like you've got to spend your time doing something, right? And it's like you know, Adam once said to me, trading, that like when I was describing my trading, he's like, that sounds like putting my dick in a cheese grater. It's like these days entrepreneurship and e-commerce gives me that same visceral feeling, right? It's like you know, not that everything is easy, right? Because there's no such thing as a free lunch. But if you can kind of understand what the world is moving towards, then, you know, it doesn't have to be as hard as going and working in that restaurant necessarily, right? But you know, it takes time. It's like anything you do.
Guys, we have an event coming up, which is the webpage is up now, which is unemployable.com.au/freedom. If you're interested in learning some of this stuff, it's happening on the 15th, 16th, and 17th of next month in July. So 4 weeks from now, 15th, 16th, and 17th. And I'm going to be showing one of the strategies that all of you guys know about, which we've been doing. We've now got about four of us that have actively been doing this strategy. And so far, we've been doing 10 to 15% a month, which is great in a fairly short time frame. But the partner that we're doing it with has been doing it a lot longer. And so we're going to be revealing that. I'm going to show you inside my actual account. I've got a guy who's in our little group, Ben, who's Mark and I work with quite a lot, who did $1 million profit in a single night from Australia. He's going to come on. He's never been on this kind of thing before. I've got some experts coming in from all different industries. I've got some immigration experts going to be talking about different countries around the world that are offering very, very attractive tax incentives and places to go and look around the world if you're looking to sort of relocate or just change your life up. We got actually after this call, I've got a call with her, but we've got a Kiwi girl who moved to Dubai a couple of years ago, and she's going to be talking about real estate market in Dubai and opportunities to buy property there. It's going to be awesome. So if you want to come and join us, unemployable.com.au/freedom. It's a charity event, so it's $500 a ticket, but 100% of your proceeds go to the John Fawcett Foundation for Eye Surgeries. So it's going to be over 3 nights from 6 till 9 p.m. Sydney time, and the recordings will be made available to all ticket holders. So that's going to be an amazing event. Mark's going to be coming on and joining us as well. But guys, keep your eyes open, because this is the kind of stuff, like I've got, as Eric said, you know, it's about allocating a portion. And like I've been out with what I'm doing now with this strategy I'm talking to you about, I'm going to allocate a little bit more capital, but because of the returns, I'm able to free up. I've got a big chunk of cash sitting over here. I'm going to take a slice of it, and then I can put the rest of that, which I was previously relying on for income, I can put that into long-term growth or different things rather than just income generating. So it's going to be a great event. And I hope you guys are learning lots, but you know, be open to change, be open to, you know, to looking at other ways of making money. And that's why we're putting this event on. Anything else you guys want to, we've got a product shout out, Eric, to close things out.
We do. Yeah.
So let's do that. For those of you who are joining the pod for the first time and you're not sure what this is, we offer free ads at the end of our pod to our listeners' businesses. So if you have a business out there with a physical product, and you want to get it highlighted, send it in to us. Send an email to hello@unemployable.com.au. Tell us that what you've got and about the product and the story behind it, and then they'll help you with getting it sent to a studio. And then we'll do for you what Eric's about to do now. If you want to support this business, please do go buy their thing. The best thing you can do for an entrepreneur is to buy their shit and leave a nice review online. So what do we got, Eric?
Yeah, so this one was quite interesting. I was in the parking lot driving out of the gym, seeing one of my mates. He was on speakerphone with one of his mates. We got talking, and he's a quite out there guy, a real nice guy. And he's like, oh, you got to meet my mate Eric and, you know, Tommy. Tommy's got a cool thing. Check this out. And he showed me a photo. He just built a beautiful house here on the Gold Coast. And he had this cool thing on his glass balustrade in the photo. And he's like, yeah, this guy makes it, and you guys should connect. Anyways. I said, take my number or my Instagram. He DM'd me. He actually came into the studio, dropped it off. So this is Tommy and Megan. Tommy and Megan are local Go Coasters. He's been in different industries, and now they're trying to get this product off the ground, which is quite a unique product. I have it physically here. It's quite heavy and large, so I'll try and prop it up for you guys to have a look at. But basically, I've got a little piece here as well that they've created called, it is called the Bench Bar. So I don't know if you guys can see that, but basically it's a piece of timber with some brackets on it, and they got different designs and styles, but you basically just clip it onto your balustrading, whether it's your balustrading on your pool fence or your balustrading on your balcony. And it basically creates a bar area where you could, you know, sit wine glasses and some, you know, plates with food and stuff like that, which is quite interesting. As you can see here in a couple of those photos as well, for those of you guys that are actually watching. So the Bench Bar is a sleek, modern fixture designed to attach your glass balustrade, offering both style and functionality. Made here in Australia from durable materials, it provides a sturdy surface for drinks, snacks, or decor, making it perfect for entertaining or simply enjoying a scenic view. Its minimalistic design complements transparency of the glass, enhancing the open and airy feel of your space. And ones that they're making at the moment are made from Mirbeau wood. They're about 1400 mil wide by 280 mil depth. And it's basically, I'll do a side profile, but think of that, right? Right, so it's nicely, very, very nicely finished. Obviously, this is version one. They've got brackets. They sit over top of your glass balustrade and just adds a little area to your pool fencing or your balustrading, which is quite interesting. If you want to find out more about the Bench Bar, please go to www.thebenchbar.com.au, and you can also follow them at socials on @thebenchbar.com/AUS for Oz, the Bench Bar AUS, and you can follow them on socials. Again, it's Tommy and Megan, just a family business, and they do some custom models as well. So I gave them some advice when they were here. It's fairly new. They just literally make them at the moment out of the garage, and they want to scale up, and gave them a few pointers and tips in my opinion on what they can do. And yeah, just a cool little product.
Yeah, I've actually got one and have had for quite some time. They're fantastic, especially for small spaces, because they just open it up, grab a couple of stools, sit out there and have a glass of wine and have a look at the ocean. They're fantastic.
You know, it's funny when I was talking to him, he's like, I got the idea because my kids kept wanting me to watch them, you know, and obviously in the pool, and I'm watching them in the pool, and I'm just sitting there on the chair at the dining table watching them, you know, at the pool, but it was kind of farther away. And then he was just leaning up on the glass pool fence watching, and he's like, all right, came up with this idea and made one for himself, and he put it on the pool fence, and then there he is, right, standing on the pool fence with his beer or his drink in hand, you know, a little platter with, you know, peanuts or whatever, watching the kids. So kind of, yeah, that's right, it kind of adds a whole different kind of entertaining area, really, which is
very
cool.
Well
done, Tom.
I'd have my iPad on my screen set up while watching the kids trying to get the trade on, you know.
You need one maybe 2400 long, you know, for put three screens on it as well. the Polar edition.
They go on with an electrical plug.
So you need the power bank for yours, Mark, for sure.
Guys, thanks so much for being here this week. Appreciate it. I'm off to Bitcoin Prague. I'm going to report back on that for you guys next week. I'm not sure where I'll be on next Tuesday or when we record, but it'll be fun. For all the listeners out there, thank you so much for tuning in. Mark, you look like you want to say something there. No.
Do you know anyone that's going to be in Bitcoin Prague? Any big names? Any treasury company CEOs?
Yeah. I'm actually catching up with Prince Philip from Serbia, who we had on the pod. I've just been texting with Pete Evans, so the famous Aussie chef. So I put on my Instagram yesterday, does anyone know Pete, because I want to connect with him, and he's here in Prague. So we're going to catch up tomorrow. I'm catching up with the Bitcoin Way team. Michael Saylor's in town.
We should get him on the podcast, actually, Adam.
Who's that? Pete? Yeah, no, that's why I'm connecting. Yeah. That's why I wanted to connect.
Yeah.
So Pete's going to come on the pod, which will be really interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of big Bitcoiners here this weekend.
Look and ask if you meet some people who are into the Bitcoin treasury companies, ask them about Semler Scientific and see if you find any inside goss on Semler, because at the moment that's one of the Bitcoin treasury companies that's trading at a discount to its BTC. I've got a position in that, disclosure, but I think if they can execute half as well as Metaplanet, that could be a sleeper.
Yeah, Metaplanet, Semler, all of those. So I will definitely do that, Mark. I've got the unemployable business card here.
Beautiful. With
the Bitcoin correspondent on the back.
And again, guys, like anyone that's listening here, if there's someone in particular that you'd like us to get on the pod, whether it's Adam interviewing them, you know, specifically around Bitcoin, or if it's someone that you want to just hear from, you know, in the political landscape, business landscape, property landscape, wealth creation, you know, drop it in the comments, because obviously there's a lot of people that we don't know as well. So.
Oh, and like the 6 degrees of separation, like Adam put out on his Instagram, does anyone know Pete Evans? Well, if there's anyone out there that has 6 degrees of separation to one of the people that you love to see on the pod, book it up, right?
It literally, within 30 minutes, I had 5 introductions to Pete, and I was done.
Amazing.
So it's we've just hired somebody, Elizabeth, I believe her name is.
Yes.
She's now working for Unemployable. Her sole job is a booker. And again, I want to thank those people on Instagram, because we generate all those leads through Instagram. Just me saying, hey, we're looking for somebody. We've got this great new lady working for us, Elizabeth. So we've now got somebody full-time just booking. We got some pretty big guests in the pipe. You guys.
And that reminds me as well, Adam, I'll have a chat with you just about putting it on your Instagram. I'll do mine as well. But we are looking for now a full-time videographer as well. We've got videographers, but we're looking for a new full-time videographer. So if anyone does know anyone, please forward them to www.unemployable.com/videographer, and they can put in their details. They need to be Gold Coast based, hungry. They're going to be following a lot of us around, just literally getting all kinds of content. But again, if you know anybody, we'll get you to put it on the Instagram as well. www.unemployable.com.au/videographer.
Videographer.
Great working terms as well, guys. Great culture, great working terms. You don't need to worry about it.
Great culture, great working terms. We've got employsure.
You get whipped to death and spoken to after 5, and after spoken to after 5 o'clock.
James said before he had the stick, and it was good to have the stick to wave it around. We don't wave it around. We literally.
The only danger of following us around or following Eric and Co around is going to be you're probably going to want to become an entrepreneur pretty soon after that. More danger to us.
That's why we keep losing staff, is they join us and then they become entrepreneurs and then we lose them. That's just happens all the time. All right, guys, thank you for watching. If you like the content, you know, the best thing you can do for us is subscribe and tell a friend. That would be the two ways to help us grow the pod. We're closing in on 25,000 subs on YouTube, which is amazing for an Aussie pod, growing really, really quickly now. We appreciate all the support out there, guys. Thank you so much. If you don't follow us on Instagram, make sure you do, Unemployable Media. And also we have a Clips channel. So if you want to follow that, I think it's called More Unemployable. So go to YouTube/@MoreUnemployable, and that will get you to the short form clips, are usually 10-minute sound bites from the pod. If you don't want to listen to the whole thing, you can just go and just subscribe to that channel as well, and you'll get just the clips. But that's it, guys.
I was just going to say, just defund the ABC and subscribe to more podcasts like ours.
Well, it's happening, man. It's happening. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll see you on the next one. Hey there. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.